Oh, bless God. I want to answer a couple of things regarding the songs that we sang this morning. I feel like I know that God wants me to bring explanation to something. When we were singing about the realities of our salvation, that we're saved, we're filled with power, we're healed, and all these things, the truth of the matter is that we declare these truths because they are truths. But experience will catch up with reality. And I say that again to you. All those truths that we declare are truths. They are real. And in our lifetime, our experiences catch up with that reality, with that truth. That's why we declare them. Second thing, when we sing "Our God Reigns from Heaven Above," one of the questions that has always come to me is, if you're reigning God, why is this stuff going on? Honest question. Truth of the matter is, his wisdom is greater than ours. His plans are greater than ours. His thinking is greater than ours. And he says in Isaiah 55, my ways are not your ways. My thoughts are not your thoughts. My thoughts are higher than your thoughts. So as we see life played out, it comes to us in a strange way, like, wow, how is this ever going to work out that God ultimately succeeds in reigning throughout the whole of history? The problem is we don't see how God works through the church to bring change. He doesn't work through the world to bring change. He works through the church to bring change. So we look at the world like it's not changing, but he looks at us and says, you're changing, therefore you will change the world. So it's through the influence of the body of Christ that he reigns in this world. That means he reigns through you and me. In our tiny little spheres where we influence society, he is ruling and reigning. And ultimately, that's all going to catch up. You follow? Yes. And all things will be under his feet and under his control ultimately. Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. All right. I have three words for you this morning that God gave me early this morning when I woke up. I always pray for the church, and that's you, the body of Christ. And he said, you're not going to teach the things I've been revealing to you today. I have three words for the church that I want to share to bless you and to address some issues in your lives, because God knows everything about your lives, you know that, and to help you overcome. The first word, hallelujah. First word came with a vision that I had. And I saw this, you know, like how cartoons figures have these clouds with the words in them, you know, over the heads of the cartoon people. Well, he showed me a bunch of people with these little clouds over their heads, and there were words written in these clouds. And the word that was constantly written over all the heads was decisions. And the Lord was saying to me this. Oh, they were hanging in the air, which is another part of this vision that's important. There's a lot of hanging decisions, meaning many of us, it may not be true for everybody here, but many of us have decisions that we are dealing with. Too many of them, actually. A lot of decisions, questions. And they're bringing confusion and indecision because the Lord was showing me that you bounce from one decision to the next decision without having a decision, meaning I need to make a decision about this, but I don't have the answer. And there's a lot of them that were hanging over your heads. How true is that for some of you, that there are decisions that you need to make? Yeah. Okay, so God knows your life, and he loves you so much, and he knows that you're faced with decisions. Now, when you have all these decisions and you don't have conclusions to them, they seem to take over your life. What are you going to do about this? What are you going to do about that? And as I mentioned, they do bring some confusion, and you end up with a lot of indecision instead of decisions. So you're struggling with indecision. And the worst part about it is it begins to create a paralyzed effect. You begin to put things off. you don't know what to do about this. So if you can't make a decision about something, then you can't then make a decision about the next thing. So everything seems to be hanging in the balance. And then the Lord said this, there are too many voices that you're hearing. Some of them are your own voices coming up with solutions, but they're not always the right solutions. If they were the right solution, then you'd make the decision and it wouldn't be hanging over your head, right? I know this is really true for you, brother. I'm just speaking to you right now. You're going to have a freedom that you haven't had in a long time because God's going to show you how to make decisions. I want to speak to you and to all who are having this problem. He wants you to hear this. He's saying, listen to me. The solution to your decision-making is to listen to God. His voice will stand out above all other voices. Like the prophet Isaiah said, you will hear a voice behind you. You will hear a voice behind you, a tiny, small voice, not a large shouting voice. That's usually the enemy pushing and shoving you. But that word behind you, this is a phrase he's given you, meaning it's a still, he calls it the still, small voice. And it will say to you, this is the way, walk in it. That's your conclusion. It'll be a small voice, not a large voice. Therefore, it requires a quietness of your soul to hear God. Amen? Let's pray about that. I also heard this word, I have too many decisions to make. Don't bother me now. Isn't that the way we think sometimes? Don't bother me now. I got stuff on my plate. And this gets to the core of some things that God wants you to know. He says, as long as you are trapped by these three things, which I explained this morning, you are ineffective in building the kingdom of God or advancing your personal life or that of other people. You are put on hold. You're put on hold. I know this to be true. This happens to all of us. When you're making all these questions and thoughts and you end up saying, don't bother me now. And that even is to what God wants you to do, because sometimes we put him off because we feel so troubled by all the other things facing us. So right now we're going to pray. God, we ask for deliverance from the voices that confuse us, that interrupt us, that cause indecision instead of decision. We need to listen to that still, small voice behind us that says, listen to me. Walk this way. Meaning, this is the decision, listen to it, that I have for you. God, we rebuke the work of the enemy to hold us in indecision and to trouble us with too many thoughts that we think we need to make decisions about. Sometimes God says to you this, you don't need to address that now. That's for a later time. So I want to stop and give you a chance to think about that. You don't need to make a decision about that now. It's not indecision. There is a time to deal with it. It's not now. If that's you, take a deep breath and get relieved of that. One of the tricks of the enemy is to cause you to feel responsible for things that you're not responsible for. And to put on your plate things that God hasn't put on. Okay? And we feel like we should take care of that or we should address that. You listen to God. And also, people will pressure you. Oh, will they ever pressure you? And they will sometimes tell you they think it's your responsibility to act on this or that. I have gotten that over all the years of ministry because people have their expectations of what that they think you should do when God has his purposes, which may be different. So, hear what God is saying to you this morning. Let there be healing for you. Second word. I want you to turn to Nehemiah chapter 4. I'm going to read two words to you. Two scriptures, two voices. Nehemiah 4, verse 2 says this. And he spoke before the brethren and the army of Samaria and said, what are these feeble Jews doing? Will they fortify themselves? Will they offer sacrifices? Will they complete it in a day? Will they revive the stones from the heaps of rubbish, stones that are burned? This was the accusation of a man called Sanballat, who was accusing the Jews and discouraging them of rebuilding the wall in Jerusalem. And the key word here that comes to us is rubbish. Verse 10 says, and Judah said, the strength of the laborers is failing. There is so much rubbish that we are not able to build the wall. So the question that comes before you, for some of you, is there a lot of rubbish in your life that is keeping you from doing the will of God? Yes? Procrastination results because you feel you have to take care of what the rubbish is telling you to do. I've got to clear this away. Oh, it's too big a job. I can't get it done. And I'm tired of it. Think about this. How many things are you trapped with about your feet? I see this picture of you, some of you looking and around your feet. Is this piece of junk and that issue and this situation and that has to be removed and you need to take care of this? And what about that? And then God is up here or out of here somewhere, and the things he wants you to do and he has for your life, you can't do it because of all this rubbish. Rubbish, the word in the Hebrew there, is dust of the earth. So it's never things that God has given to you. It's always stuff of the earth, worldly stuff. God doesn't give you rubbish to do. You create it, or the enemy creates it for you. And it's very distracting. And you end up feeling quite disappointed that you can't do what you hear the Lord saying you to do. So how do you get rid of the rubbish? First of all, the rubbish, when you look at it, it's overwhelming. It's a pile of stuff. Huge. How many of you make lists and your list grows all the time? It just gets larger and larger, right? And you might be able to draw a line through one thing, and then you still have 9 more or 15 more. And the Lord has reminded you of Matthew 6:33. You know what that is? Come on. You know what it is. You could quote it to me. Yeah. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof, isn't it? You got enough for a day's trouble. How much can you do in a day? Can you do all these things in a day? No. So this is a little bit of, I call it spiritual wisdom, common sense. What is the thing that God wants you to remove as far as rubbish from your life today? Only one thing, not everything. What's on your plate for today? This is a practical day that God wants to help you with. One of the things he told me is that when people are hurting, troubled, interrupted in their lives, got a lot of decisions to make, feel like there's too much stuff to address, you cannot hear what God wants to teach you. I'm not accusing you. I'm just saying to you, this is what happens. And he's stopping me from teaching you more things because there's too much going on in your lives right now. And I'll teach it, and then you're not going to pick it up. And it's deep and it's profound things. And it's things about present and future destiny of your life in the church. We are at, I'm going to use the word critical, because critical means it's a great place for a precious new decision. A crisis is not bad until you make it bad. A crisis is a moment of amazing decisions, of changes. And we are coming to great change moments in the history of the church. I can't teach you all these things at once. And I know you don't realize the impact of what I'm saying right now. And that's not an accusation. That's the truth of where we are. All changes are challenging to us. We love our comfort zones. And yet at the same time, we want more. We want more from God. But if we're not in the right place to hear, it doesn't make any difference what I teach you. And I want for you what God wants for you, and that is for you to recognize the season for which you're born in. I want you to feel like Esther, that you were born for such a time as this, that you really matter individually. I don't care what gender you are or how old you are. You have a special purpose that God wants you to fulfill. And you can't fulfill it unless you know what it is. And my job is to help inform you what it is. So, God is so wise and so wonderful to us. He knows, I know where you're at right now, kids. Let's stop for a minute, take care of a few things in your life, back up, settle down, we'll go forward again. We'll go forward again. I have a lot to teach, but you won't absorb it all. I know. Look, I was young, married, raising kids. I know what it's like. Distraction upon distraction, decision upon decision, all kinds of stuff. Life is full of that. How do we live successfully? Well, God is trying to speak to that to you today, to help you navigate through these times so that you can become more successful for Him, with Him. And you can fulfill your personal destinies, which God wants. Sometimes we sit back and we think, oh man, I don't seem to be doing anything God wants. I'm missing all kinds of opportunities. This is one of the ways to clear that up. Amen? All right. Seek first the kingdom of God. Third thing is fear. With the coming of the coronavirus issue and all of the words that you hear from all the sources of the world that tell you all the things to be afraid of, the spirits of fear have had their heyday in this world. And tremendous influences are exerted through fear. Fear is one of the greatest motives to control people. Fear controls you. Fear absolutely grips you. It demands of you, and it tells you what to be thinking about, what to be worried about, because fear always has worry and dread. It's a hopeless feeling. And when you finally think you have a solution, you hear somebody with an answer, you feel relieved. And that is one of the ways that powers, power structures, power people, evil people, Satan, control you with fear. Fear is powerful. It is the most powerful outside of love. There's nothing more powerful than fear. Love is greater. Fear paralyzes us and changes our behavior. There are people today who've been vaccinated who wear two and three masks, it seems, while they drive their cars. Why? Why would somebody do that unless they were gripped with fear? They haven't gotten free. So, fear is the opposite of faith, as you know. And when fear is in control, faith is not in control. So we're going to pray to get you free of fear. Now, you may not have had a specific fear of the virus, but the influence of fear has a way of affecting you anyway. Fear is in the spiritual atmosphere around us. It comes out in so many ways. If you take any time watching television, that you'll find that fear permeates almost all the thoughts of the natural world. And we're not of that world. We belong to the kingdom of God. One of the greatest fears is fears of the future. What's going to happen in the future? And we try to insulate ourselves and make decisions to protect ourselves today for the future. We need to relax. We need to calm down. We need to take a deep breath. Right now, you could do that. God wants to minister to you. Look at where you are in life. You might be 30 years old. You might be 80 years old. If you will stop and rehearse the miracles of your life, you will see how God has taken you through everything. Everything. The things that you thought about that worried you 10 years ago have died out, passed away. God took you through them. So whatever you're troubled with today, whatever you're fearful about, rehearse the miracles of your life. Start to worship God and give Him praise. And thank Him now for the fact, the truth, that He will get you through this season too. And whatever lies ahead of you, whatever threatens you, He's going to take you through that too. Amen? You need to just faith accepts the truth and the promise before it takes place. There's got to be an activation of our faith by declaration. I'm not saying if you declare it, it will happen. You declare it because God is going to make it happen. You don't make it happen, He does. So the effort's not on you. All you do is praise Him and thank Him that it will take place. He will help you through whatever situation you're fearful of. Best way to defeat the enemy right now, because there could be spirits of fear associated with this, particularly demons that want to take control of your life. We're not going to let that happen. So I'm going to ask you, declare the fact that you can rehearse the miracles of what God has done in the past and say to Him, what you've done in the past, you'll do in the future. And I am a free person. My future is in your hands, not the enemy's, not mine. I don't have to fear the world or what people say or what the enemy lies to me about. I trust you and I thank you for it. So you can have some deliverance right now through your mouth. Declare with your own lips God's goodness to you. Right now, do it. Hallelujah, do it. It might be one thing, but one thing is a great start. Your whole life is going to be that way. Praise Him, praise Him, praise Him. I would have fainted. Hey, Winifred, what is it? Say it. I would have fainted unless. Say it out loud so others can hear. Go ahead.
I would have fainted unless I had believed the goodness of God in the land of the
living. Amen. Did you hear that? That's scripture. I would have fainted unless I believed the goodness of God in the land of the living. Now. Believe for the goodness of God in your life and give Him praise. If you can't do that, that means fear is still gripping you. You don't have the answers. You don't have the solutions. You don't know the way. You know the person. All right? You know the person. Hallelujah. We need to thank God. We need to give Him praise, worship Him, bless His holy name. Right now, declare. I'll tell you what, the devil will flee. Your thought life will be different. Come on now. We have a good God. He's a good, good God. Hallelujah. I would have fainted unless I chose to believe the goodness of God in the land of the living. We choose your goodness, God. Hallelujah. I do not fear for my health. I do not fear for my wealth. I do not fear for my family. I do not fear for my future. I believe in you, God. You hold my life in your hands, and the enemy cannot snatch me away, nor will he be able to reverse my future. You have already declared it. Praise your holy name. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Now, Jesus, I just thank you that we will live in this moment experiencing your goodness in the land of the living, that we will go from hour to hour, day to day, week to week, being free of confusion over decisions, being free from the rubbish of our life, letting you to speak to us one thing at a time, that we will hear your voice, the still, small voice behind it saying, "This is the way, walk ye in it." And we will be free from the fears that torment other people. Having been delivered into your kingdom, we are free from fear. Praise God. Amen. So that's it today, saints. I pray that you're blessed in these thoughts, that you live free, released, liberated, joyful. Hallelujah. Jesus is Lord. Amen. Amen.